What's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 37. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Yay, we're back again. Why do I keep saying yay after every time we're done?
It's just a habit.
Yay, we're here.
It's my birthday.
It's my birthday. Yay. Okay. Well, let's start off with what we saw this week, because I think we all saw a bit of stuff.
I think so. Yeah. Do you want to go forward?
Let's just go through our complete list. I've started taking up, Billy Flynn will be very happy to hear, I finally started watching the revival of Doctor Who. With Christopher Eccleston, who played Claude in Heroes. He was the first Doctor Who came back, the Invisible Man.
Who is Claude in Heroes?
The guy who turns invisible.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It is really fun. Well worth checking out if you have Netflix, Blockbuster, online, whatever. Definitely. Check it out. It is freaking awesome.
So it's Christopher Eccleston?
Yes.
Okay, I always say Eccleston, so it's Eccleston. That sounds better anyway. So.
Yes, yes. And then also, I've been like on a British TV kick. I also watched the adaptation of Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere.
Cool.
Which was pretty good. If you like the book, it's worth watching. Otherwise, I'd probably skip it.
Hmm.
Well, I'll skip over that one because we're going to talk about that in our main topic. And then I also saw Vince Vaughn's Wild West comedy show.
Oh, how was that?
Pretty good. It's more like a reality movie type thing, behind the scenes with the comics and stuff. There's a scene with Justin Long. If you've seen the trailer, you've seen it. Where he's like doing the Vince Vaughn impression.
Oh, yeah.
That entire scene is hilarious. It is amazing.
I've grown to like him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I liked him since Galaxy Quest, but yes, yes. It's good stuff.
Does Vaughn do any stand-up in it? Or?
He does some talking here and there. It's mostly about the comics, who are pretty good overall, I got to say. The stand-up is pretty good. It's just, it's not awful by a long shot. It's just not going to make anyone's top 10 list, but it's worth checking out. If you like a documentary, it's like a documentary of taking a comedy show on the road. And a lot of these people aren't big comics, so it's them getting used to the lifestyle, stuff like that. So
it's kind of like the Jerry Seinfeld movie, Comedian, then. So it's like not a lot of stand-up, more like behind the scenes.
There is plenty of stand-up, though.
Or Dane Cook's HBO series that he did.
Twergasm?
Sounds kind of like,
that was disappointing.
Is that what it was called?
Twergasm?
It is kind of like a little bit like that in tone. Yeah, it doesn't dwell on it too much to become, all real world.
But, yeah. Oh, thank God.
Yeah. All right, Josh.
Let's see. I had kind of a weird week. First, I start off. I watched The Untouchables, which I haven't seen.
Love that film.
Yeah, it was really good. Did you know that they're doing a sequel with Gerard Butler as Sean Connery's character?
Oh, is he really? I didn't hear that. That's cool. I like that. I'll take that over Snake Plissken.
Okay. Well, yeah, there is that.
And I don't know who's doing who's going to be Capone yet, but
I heard Nicolas Cage was supposed to be in it somehow. Yeah, that he wanted to work with De Palma again. Yeah.
I did kind of feel like it was a little dated.
Sure.
It was still really good.
Oh, it is.
And the music is kind of overbearing at times. I was like, huh. It was really good. And then I watched Death Race 2000, which was awesome.
Ah, yes.
I actually watched it yesterday. I had to cook hot dogs in front of my dad's store, and I had that open, and I was cooking hot dogs and watching that. And then I watched Rosemary's Baby, which I also never seen, and didn't sleep much last night.
That's one of the most... disturbing movies ever.
I did. Yeah, I couldn't believe how terrifying it was for the lack of anything being shown.
With actual horror elements.
Yeah, and the dream sequence was like nothing I had seen before.
Yeah, Polanski. I think what he does so beautifully is I'm never going to trust a sweet little lady who lives next door to me again after that movie.
Mia Farrow's performance was amazing too.
Yeah, she's great.
She did a great job.
Yeah,
and they're remaking that too.
Oh, they're making everything. Everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think it was Peter Over at Slash Film put up a thing saying, okay, here's the problem. If you guys remake everything now, what are you going to do in 10 years?
Yeah.
Right now, everything's being remade right now.
Because when did that come out? 60-something?
68, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
The classics. Yeah.
Well, they've already remade it. I mean, and all due respect to The Devil's,
didn't they even do a sequel?
The Devil's Advocate. But The Devil's Advocate was Rosemary's Baby, and the Johnny Depp film, The Astronaut's Wife, it was Rosemary's Baby in space. So they've already done this. And even in that movie...
Even The Omen is kind of...
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, in The Astronaut's Wife, Charlize Theron even had the Mia Farrow haircut.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, so it's like, it's already been done.
Now, didn't they do a sequel to Rosemary's Baby?
Yeah, straight to TV TV movie.
Yeah.
Rosemary's Babies?
It was called Look What's Happened to Rosemary's Baby, and it starred Bruce Gordon, who was the neighbor. Yeah, I didn't see it.
Okay.
You saw it?
I saw part of it, and it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I've never...
Was he like a little kid or something?
Yeah, it's like The Omen, essentially. Okay. It's a TV movie, man.
How can you go wrong with that?
Yeah.
So, do you have anything else? That's plenty, but
yeah, that's it. That's pretty much it.
Okay, cool. And Barry, did you catch some
goodness? Yeah, well, you know, it's Friday the 13th, so I had to watch Friday the 13th Part 7, The New Blood, which I got to say held up much better than I remembered. I was very impressed. Like, wow, out of all these movies, this one actually has a plot and like a story arc with characters, like unlike the other ones where it's just like, you know, teens going to the woods and they don't come out. This one is about the girl telekinesis and she's trying to learn to channel her power, but her psychiatrist is trying to exploit her and like, you know, videotape her power and basically just like, you know, gain money off of her. And then Jason shows up and kills everybody. But
isn't that when she brings her dad out from the lake? And
yes, it has the dumbest of dumb endings. But the whole Jason versus Tina angle is so cool. Like when she makes the nails go fly at him and sets him on fire. Yeah, so out of all those stupid movies, I still kind of like The New Blood, admittedly. What else did I see? I saw the Al Pacino movie, 88 Minutes, which was really bad. Not as bad as The Happening, I must say, but still really, really bad. But you know what I do want to really promote, because it's such a wonderful film that I did get to see. It's in theaters right now. It's a little art film called Then She Found Me. This is the film that Helen Hunt directed and wrote and stars in. It's Helen Hunt, Matthew Broderick, Colin Firth, and Bette Midler.
Oh, that's a pretty big cast, though.
Yeah. I got to say, I'm very impressed with this film. It's very bittersweet. It's got, like, Colin Firth does not repeat himself in this movie. It's a really edgy performance, and it was great to see him in that kind of role. And Bette Midler, whether you love her or hate her, she gives a terrific performance. It's basically about a woman who basically all her life has wondered who her mother is because she was adopted. She finds out who her mother is, and it's Bette Midler, and she's this local celebrity, and she finds out that her dad is actually this dead celebrity. I'm not going to give it away, but it's actually a really funny movie. Very good film.
Cool. Yeah,
How do you find that?
It's playing at the Kimball R1 Art Theater. Yeah, cool. It's a very good film. I really, really hope it catches on. Very, very good film. I don't know if you'd call it a date movie, but it's just a really, really good romantic comedy.
And then you got to see Young Mr. Lincoln too, right?
I did. That was a great film.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, like I was telling you on the phone, where else can you see like Abraham Lincoln like rig tug of war and tug of war competition and then be like the judge of a pie eating contest. Yeah. It was so funny to see
what
Abraham
is it,
Lincoln.
Young Mr. Lincoln?
Young Mr. Lincoln. It's Abraham Lincoln's early years when he was a lawyer. And like the court case, it's very predictable. You know how it's gonna turn out okay, but like Henry Fonda looks and he's just so much is Abraham Lincoln. It's uncanny. Oh,
that's the one that you were talking about last week.
Yes,
right?
It is. Yeah, I had to bring it up just for some backup that it didn't suck.
It's very, very good. Well, I was telling Dave, it's like I feel like I went to that Disney thing again. The
great moments with Mr.
Yeah,
Lincoln.
Like the Hall of Presidents where like the animatronic Lincoln stands up and, well, my Americans. It was so much like that. It was just uncanny how much it was like Lincoln.
Very cool. Huh. All right. Well, shall we move on to what hit theaters this week?
Yes.
All 15 movies? Oh, I'm sorry, two.
Yeah, just
I was
just
like, wait, what?
Well, the number one movie in America, which made over $50 million, Edward Norton, is The Incredible Hulk. And making an astonishing $30 million, M. Night Shyamalan's The Happening.
You think they're going to have a repeat of that next weekend?
I'd be amazed if it made $10 million next weekend, to tell you the truth.
Okay, tell us your story real quick, Josh.
Okay, so as I'm leaving The Hulk, I'm like, I'm just going to go pop into The Happening and just watch like 5 minutes of it.
Now, don't do spoilers, because you did the spoiler version for me.
Okay. I'll tell you the spoiler after because you were saying it. So I'm walking past. Somebody comes out of Zohan, and the door opens. Nobody's laughing. It's pretty much dead silent. And I go to The Happening, and I open the door. Just laughter like everywhere. And I watched about 3 minutes of it, and I was like, I'm good.
I think it's fair to say it's the scene where Marky Mark's getting chased.
Yeah, that was it.
Yes.
I don't like that. I think we've all decided it's going to be a dollar theater view.
Yeah,
Nate's going to join us, and yeah,
I'll do the dollar, but not the $8.50.
No. Ooh. Okay, so you want to give us the actual rundown since you can now talk about it?
Yeah, it's kind of nice that I can talk about it.
There's a reason why they put an NDA on you, didn't they?
Well, you know, and I respect Fox. I love Fox, and it was very smart the way they promoted this movie. Kind of keeping it a secret, and I don't know if they meant to keep the secrets of the movie a secret or keep the movie itself a secret, but either way I couldn't talk about it until Friday the 13th. But yeah, I thought it was depressingly bad. I really did. And I was not in a good mood writing the review for this movie. I wanted to love this film. I wanted this to be M. Night Shyamalan's big comeback. I really did. But to me, like, just to even talk about how ridiculous the movie is, you've got to, like, just look at Mark Wahlberg being in this film. He's a good actor. He doesn't give a bad performance, but he's like, he looks like he just got out of the gym at the very least, and he's playing a nerdy high school science teacher. The casting is so baffling.
He says the word science a lot, doesn't he?
He does.
Does he?
And the role is so wrong for him. It's like a parody even having him in the role. And, you know, not to be cliched about it, but it's one thing if he had, like, I don't know, glasses or, like, you know, a bad hairdo. But seriously, he looks like he's getting ready for a GQ shoot, and it's ridiculous seeing him in the role. It's so wrong. And Zoe Deschanel, who's a very talented, very beautiful actress, she just basically bugs out her beautiful saucer eyes the whole movie, and that's her role.
It's okay, just,
yeah, bad dialogue, bad acting, bad screenplay, just a bad, bad movie.
Do you think maybe that we just don't get it, and there's like a layer to this film that like 10 years from now people will be like, oh, it's so good, or do you think it's just terrible?
I think the best review I read gave it a 7.
Oh, okay.
Roger Ebert gave it 3 stars.
Oh, really?
He gave it 3 stars,
really?
And said he thought it was touchingly good. Yeah, he was found it touching, and he really liked, not to give anything away, but the environmentalist angle of the film. So,
sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm all for an ecological thriller. I am. But when it's,
even that, though,
when it's done like this, because that's the thing, like I told you, like just to describe the key scenes of this movie, I mean, you can't help but laugh because it's so silly. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, the first thing you said was, now I know what you and Josh have been snickering about for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, you guys have been like laughing about it for 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, how bad can it be?
Well, and I was sitting there hoping that the ending was not real, what you and I had read. Yeah. That's why I called you, and then you're like, nope.
Well, that, yeah.
Sure enough.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Let's get to the Hulk then.
Let's get to the Hulk.
I dug the crap out of this
movie.
I
really enjoyed the Hulk, yeah.
It felt very much like an homage to the 70s film and the 70s TV series in many ways. The fact that they found a way to give Bill Bixby a cameo, that just made me happy in so many ways.
Well, it's kind of funny because he was the security guard too in the Ang Lee.
No, Lou Ferrigno's who you're talking about.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
That's
oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Bill Bixby, yeah.
Yeah, Bill Bixby's been dead for, what, 15 years?
Something like
and
that.
And then what was the TV show that they had a clip of?
The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Yes, yes. I was like, that is so cool. That like won me over. You were right in your review on Maui Time. This is the movie everyone wanted last time around.
Yeah. Which is it's kind of reluctant for me to write because I liked Ang Lee.
Yeah, I did too.
Call me crazy, but I really liked it. But yeah, this is what they want. It's action packed. It does not waste any time. Even the opening credits is like, okay, this is the idea of the Hulk. If you're not familiar with it, you'll get it from the opening scenes.
Yes.
And I love the way they set it up. I thought the first hour was fantastic. All the stuff in Brazil was great. It was exciting. It was inventive. I feel like we did get, unfortunately, what Edward Norton hinted at. I feel like there's so much more to this story.
There absolutely is. I want to see the actor / director's cut.
Yeah,
me too.
The scene in the teaser trailer where he's talking to
the psychiatrist.
Yeah, that looked like a great scene.
Yeah.
I really wanted that because I liked the character. You know, they didn't really say exactly what the nature of that relationship between him and Liv Tyler's character was. And I think that scene would have really helped.
And, you know, you can think back of where exactly that would have been in the film,
right,
too.
Of
it's
course.
Just like,
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I think they just – I read in that review, that article on Slash Film, that Marvel just wanted a really short running time.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing article that Slash Film put up about the differences between the 2-hour, 15-minute cut and I think it's like 100-hour, 55-minute cut of the theatrical version, which I agree. I think it's a great movie. But I feel like towards the end, it's like the characters kind of went out the window for all the action. And it's great action,
but
you know, I want to know who is Tim Roth's character really and what is the deal with the relationship. And
I thought he kind of did steal the show, though. I really, for as one-dimensional as that character was, I thought he did a really good job.
He did a lot with that character, no question.
Oh, yes, yes. I loved it when it's all you got, whack, hits the tree. I was like, oh, that's awesome. Yes, Tim Blake Nelson even was kind of creepy, but
he was very good.
I have a feeling we're going to see him in the future. I know exactly who he is.
Oh, future character?
Yes, cool. Yes. Excellent. Do you want me to tell you?
Please. Spoiler?
Well, it's a potential spoiler.
It's a speculation spoiler.
If they bring him back, oh no, that's what I've got coming up. I told you about that theory. No, he's going to become the leader. Remember the super cerebral guy? Because when the stuff did the thing and his head did the... Yeah, I was like, he's going to be leader. Holy crap.
Oh, now I know who you're talking about. You told me that on the phone. I was like, who's that character?
Yeah.
Now I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, that made me very happy.
Very nice.
So, okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, the only thing that I didn't... I felt like the bad parts of Ang Lee's version were the good parts of this, and then the good parts of... Ang Lee's versions were the bad parts of this.
That's interesting. Please explain.
I really didn't feel like I connected to Bruce Banner at all as much as I did in Ang Lee's version. I don't know if that was just because I think Ang Lee tried to focus on Bruce Banner more instead of the Hulk or whatever. But and not that Edward Norton didn't do a great job, but I just wasn't as emotionally involved with him as I was in the other film.
Okay.
And I wonder if that's more because of the 20 minutes that got cut.
Yeah, I think that is. I think that is the case.
That's interesting because for me, it was such it's such a different deal because Eric Bana's Hulk was so intense and moody, and he was a real nerd too.
Yeah.
He really did capture like the unlikable kind of nerd element, whereas Edward Norton I thought was so engaging the whole way through. It's like he's almost too cool to be a total science geek.
That's what I felt like. He wasn't the nerdy Banner. I don't know.
Definitely.
But he did a great job.
Yeah, I thought he was really good in it. Do we want to talk about my theory at all?
We should just announce spoilers so we could talk about the
ending. Yeah, so skip ahead. Hang on here. Yeah, I'll cue it up for about 2 minutes. Yeah, go ahead and skip it ahead.
All right.
And you've had your chance. Okay. My theory is there's a very specific reason why Tony Stark was in at the end. I agree. If not for me thinking of this, I think it was completely a throwaway cameo. But he talks about, we've got a project coming up related. Essentially, he's saying, I hear about your Hulk problems. We're putting a team together. And he's like, who's we? And in conjunction, not with the Incredible Hulk movie figures, but with the superhero figures, they've come out with the Hulkbuster Iron Man figure, which leads me to believe, since there is no Incredible Hulk 2 slated, since there is no storyline nailed down for Iron Man right now, I really do wonder if Hulk does well, if Marvel's planning on making Iron Man 2 going to take out the Hulk, and you'd have him. You'd have Stark in the Hulkbuster outfit armor. You'd have Rhodey in the War Machine armor. It'd be a great excuse to get everything done in one movie, and it'd just be one amazing battle royale type film.
Do you think they'd do that though? They'd take their two top franchises at the moment and put them in one movie like that.
It's a great lead-in for the Avengers.
It's probably
especially
true.
If
is that a comic book storyline that they do?
No. Oh well. Oh, Lord. Yes, there is. The Hulkbuster armor comes into play during World War Hulk when the Marvel superheroes send the Hulk to a distant planet and then nuke the planet.
Oh.
And he gets pissed and comes back and pretty much just about kills everybody.
Hulk mad.
Yeah, yeah. So I could see them doing that. And then at the end of the by the end of the movie, they have the Hulk, you know, coming to an understanding, whatever. He becomes part of the Avengers and voila.
The other thing, too, not to totally burst your bubble.
No. This is so out there and so unlikely. I don't think there's no way it can happen.
Is with all this, this is like the only thing I can reference, but with all the Spider-Man games and stuff, they would put other villains into the games and the action figure line just to kind of throw that in there, I think, for like fans. So that could, it could just be one of those things.
But with the recent action figure lines, they haven't been doing that.
Oh, really?
Well, with the Spider-Man ones?
They had Scorpion and...
But not as part of the Spider-Man movie line. They came out with separate Spider-Man figures.
Oh, I thought it was part of the movie line.
No. They did separate stuff, so...
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, no, not necessarily. This is a long shot. I really don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's a very interesting...
It'd be very cool. Forward.
I think that would be a knockdown, drag-out, awesome, fun time.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, all I know is Marvel's 2 for 2 now, so...
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I still wish that last scene was after the credits because I thought it took away from Edward Norton. It's his movie, and all of a sudden people are like, "Yay, Iron Man!" To me, they didn't need that.
I stayed through the credits just in case.
So did I. They should have put it at the end credits. I think everybody was ready for that and expecting that.
Yeah, I was rather disappointed. Okay,
so, yeah, because I was listening to what you said last week. I thought maybe at the end credits there'll be the whole Captain America thing they hinted at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they didn't have that. That could have been the deleted scene of him in the ice. Yeah. That we've heard about.
Yeah, that's probably one part of it. All right, let's move on to the DVD releases. We're like getting so far behind right now.
All right, DVD releases. Film no few people saw, a few people liked, but it still made $70 million. Why? Fool's Gold. Boy, does that title have a double meaning. The Sword in the Stone, 45th Anniversary Edition. One of the best Wizards duels ever.
Yes.
Be Kind Rewind, my favorite film of the year thus far. The Nude Bomb, the unfortunate Get Smart movie. Not the one that's coming out.
It's not bad, but... It's not great either. Yeah, by a long shot.
Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, Martin Lawrence, once again, slumming. And one of the premier cult movies of the 90s, So I Married an Axe Murderer, starring Mike Myers.
Cool.
Yay.
In the quote-unquote deluxe edition.
Yeah, I think we kind of beat that whole subject to death last week, so I guess we just go ahead and talk news.
Let's.
All right.
A bunch.
Yeah, no kidding. I think we've all got like 6 stories each. I'll start off with a little quick reminder. If you've been reading the site, we've been starting to do some stuff about DVD deals. The releases of the week that we actually recommend, all that stuff. I've been talking about the deep discount sale going, and it actually goes through the 22nd. So if you want to pick up something, you got, just a few more days. So yeah, you're going to want to go ahead and jump on that. Actually, I guess you have through next Sunday. Through next Sunday. So pick up some stuff, good deals, hunt around a little bit. I'll try to find something else cool to pick up too.
One of my favorite sites, Garth Franklin's Dark Horizons, great site. Oh. They've released a really good story on his blog. McGee announced that the ending of T4 is indeed a rumor, in fact, an incorrect one. He says that only three people know the actual ending of Terminator 4 and 5. So he says, like, don't believe what you read. It's actually not true. The script itself is top secret. Even Christian Bale himself may not be in on it. So this gives me hopes that McGee's T4 may not McSuck after all. Not so much, Dave.
McSpaced. I'm done.
In conjunction with that, there's supposed to be a teaser for Terminator attached to Dark Knight.
Cool. Oh, so, real footage or just going to be like...
I have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
And then an eye and then the title. And that's gonna
right,
be
yeah.
And then you'll see, a Summer Glau, and then you'll be good to go.
Cool.
I don't know. That's even though it's a TV show, but still.
Still, that's all people need.
There you go, yes. Oh, I guess it's back to me, huh? Crap. And speaking of crap, we've got the Punisher trailer, Warzone, over at Slash Film. Oh, that hurt.
Yeah, it really did.
I want my Dolph Lundgren back after watching that.
I want Thomas Jane back.
Thank you. Me too.
I thought he was so great.
But watching that trailer, is it not evident why he jumped ship?
No, hats off to him for being smart about it.
It looks like a straight-to-video movie. It does.
At best, yes.
And who's the actor? He's a wrestler.
Ray Stevenson?
I've never heard of him.
I hadn't either. I just remember the promo picture, and it was like, oh, look, Steven Seagal's the
I think he's a wrestler, like a WWE wrestler.
Oh, Lord.
Which is thumbs up for that.
Steven Seagal would have been a better choice.
Yeah, that trailer hurt, period. So, yeah.
The poster for What Just Happened came out, the Robert De Niro, Barry Levinson film that I'm shamelessly promoting because I want it to be so good.
It's Barry Levinson, come on.
Yeah, Barry Levinson, love the guy. Yeah. Love the poster. Anyway, that's all I got for that.
Okay.
Let's see.
We're kind of rapid fire in this. I like this.
Yeah. Hancock got moved to July 1st.
Yes, to make more money.
Yep. 7 p.m.
Yep.
Why are they doing that? I don't understand.
Why not just move it to Monday for beat's sake? Just give the week of Hancock.
Just open it now. I don't know. I don't understand how that, in the long run, makes them more money. If they set a date and then, like, let's tease them with that date and then move back.
I guess it's supposed to show audience confidence, you know, like how confident they are in the movie. But on the other hand, it makes it such a cheat when they add up. It's like, this is how much it made from like Tuesday to Saturday and box office bonanza. Well, of course it did. Of course it broke records. No movie opens on Monday for Pete's sake.
I still want to see it. There's no question about it, but it is kind of a pointless thing to do. Since we've been talking so much about Marvel, the Page 2 section of over at Slash Film said that I'm surprised this hasn't been picked up everywhere. Marvel has indeed finally given Jon Favreau an offer for Iron Man 2.
Thank goodness.
Which, after my little rant, makes me glad that we're not looking at the possible boycott. I know you were like, I don't want to
boycott Iron Man 2. It's too early for that.
But I so would have. And they're like, what do you think we are, idiots? Well, you waited 5 weeks after you announced the movie was coming out. So yes, I do.
I feel bad for the guy, but you honestly wouldn't go see it if it was like another good director.
Considering how much Favreau was responsible for that movie not completely blowing, he forced Robert Downey Jr. on Marvel. He forced them to take him, and it's the smartest move that ever could have happened. So we're going to go ahead and the guy made no money with the understanding that we'll make more the next time around. And it's like, well, we don't need him to make money. Yes, you're stupid because someone actually went out in public and said that.
But you know what's sad is, like, I doubt 75% of the audience would know going into Iron Man 2 if it was the same director.
No, so, they wouldn't.
Well, I think it would be, like, I was telling Dave, I think it would be like the Peter Jackson thing, like with Guillermo del Toro. If they got, like, say, Ridley Scott to do Iron Man 2, the best case scenario, people would be like, well, if, you know, if the movie was great, but how much better would it have been if Jon Favreau did it? If it sucked, it's like, well, of course it sucked. Jon Favreau didn't do it. So it's a lose-lose.
Most definitely.
Well, 1 week later, here we go. It's confirmed. Bloody Disgusting confirmed. The Strangers 2 is happening.
No.
Just 1 week later.
No.
It's happening.
Yep. It's made $45 million and it cost $9 million.
$9 million,
yeah. So it's opening up in December? Is that when it's coming out? Or?
Actually, it's coming out next week.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense.
See, since The Happening is going to drop out of, we're going to be able to see it in The Happening in the cheap theaters next week.
Then
the
shoot over to Strangers 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is anything else announced besides that?
Just that it's happening. That Rogue Pictures said, they want to do it.
But
it's called greed.
They said the same thing about the Saw movies. First one does good. The next one's coming out next Halloween.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But who knows? Maybe it'll be better. Maybe it'll be worse. It's too early to say.
Oh, okay. No comment. Let's see. Actually, this is really interesting. This isn't really movie related, but Katherine Heigl
turned down.
Did you hear about this?
She turned down an
Emmy nomination.
No, she said she doesn't want the nomination. Did she actually get nominated?
She did, and she wrote them a letter, and they turned her over for it.
Oh, okay.
She said that she didn't think that she deserved it because she thought that the season of Grey's Anatomy wasn't deserving. Now, first of all, I think that is kind of an honorable is the wrong word, but different move for her to be like, well, me as an actress, I don't think I deserve that. But on the same hand, how disrespectful is that to the rest of the cast on the show and the writers and producers and everyone else involved?
You mean the same person who threw the entire cast and Knocked Up and everyone involved under the bus too?
Yeah, I think she's losing her mind.
She's got foot and mouth disease, which is a shame because she's a talented and beautiful actress, and I can't believe she's been saying that.
And she could be huge. I mean, Knocked Up, I mean, well, good thoughts for her.
Oh, never mind. I'm not going to say it.
And, you know, 27 Dresses, if you really examine it, I'm not going to get into that now, but I swear that movie is 50,000 times more sexist than anything in Knocked Up.
Oh, I didn't see it, but I could tell from the trailer.
Not something we need to go through now, but seriously, it's like she needs to... Yeah, if you can't say something nice, Catherine.
Yes, then that's why I'm not saying what I was going to say. I'll tell you after we go dark. I'll go for two trailers right now, just knock them out. First of all, Slash Films got up the Death Race trailer. I don't even know quite what to say about this giant pile, so I'll just let the...
You know, and I did have a man crush on Jason Statham after
Crank. I love Jason Statham. But dude.
What the hell is he thinking?
From Uwe Boll to Paul What Script Anderson. Really. That's the jump he's made.
And it looks nothing like the original one that I just watched last week. And they give the worst thing is they give away the ending in the twist of an ending, if you'd call it that, in the trailer. They give the whole plot away. Did you catch that when you watched it?
I was too busy, like, cowering in pain. I was in the fetal position in my chair. Didn't you notice that?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. It's such an ugly-looking movie, too. Like, the original is such a fun,
it's bright
movie. It is brutal.
You score points for hitting pedestrians.
And this one is just about a bunch of cars shooting at each other and smacking into each other. I mean, it's like going to a monster truck show.
You get 70 points for hitting a baby. That was awesome. The scene where she's... Wow, it's like, what day there. Is it? And she's like, oh, it's, you know, when they, what's that called when they kill old people? The, I don't know, when they're driving to the hospital and he turns and hits all those nurses, it was great. Awesome.
Okay, and the second trailer was in front of the Hulk. I don't know if it's up online anywhere. I'm just going to say this looks awful. Righteous Kill. Oh, for the love of Pez.
Wait, is that the Samuel L. Jackson one?
No, that's the one with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where it's a cop killing him, and I bet you one of those two were the ones killing him. I'm just going to go out on a limb.
I can't believe this is the movie they decided to do together, you know.
We did Heat.
Well, for 5 minutes. And this is the movie. This is like a buddy movie for them, but it's like, you know, couldn't they have just done like The Odd Couple? Why do they have to do like a generic bad cop movie?
Well, and as they're doing the interviews, it's like the face close-ups are getting closer and closer, and then like eventually it's just like on De Niro's mole. And I'm like, really? this.
And then his mole has lips. It's like, hello!
It's like in Scrubs.
Did you see the Samuel Jackson trailer? I can't think of what that was called. No. He plays a next door neighbor.
Yeah,
did you see it?
Yeah, the one with Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, I thought it looked okay.
Yeah, it's like Unlawful Entry like meets Neighbors, I guess. Yeah.
I was like,
sounds like Arlington Road.
Kind of, yeah. He's a corrupt cop and he like starts harass his white neighbor played by Patrick Wilson. Yeah, so it's like it's like Unlawful Entry with like a politically incorrect affirmative action stance. Yeah.
Okay then.
Yeah, I don't know. Could go
either way. I was talking Righteous Kill. It's your turn, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, if those of you who always wondered if the phrase "I wish I could quit you" would make a good lyric of a song, "Brokeback Mountain," officially a musical done by the New York City Opera, opening 2013. So we have lots of time to prepare for this.
And I sent an email to the Geek Label, the Geek Radio Daily guys. See, Vicar. See, that was a quick mistake. Just saying. Not that I'm going to make a joke about that again later, but. The Vicar used to made a joke about how the sequel should star Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. And I was like, that's so sad that it can't happen now. Because, you know, I'd love to see those two riffing as, you know, them in their 80s. And
yeah, Broke, okay. Is it called I Wish I Could Quit You?
No. No. Okay. No. I'm kidding. No, it's just Brokeback Mountain, the opera. That's
the opera?
That's the title, yeah.
It's like Cannibal, the musical.
Oh, my God.
Come into really? My tent. Yeah, that's yeah.
Brokeback. I don't believe you.
No, I swear.
There's going to be okay. Oh no, I can't say that.
It comes out in 2013. We have lots of time to make fun of this. We had a few years.
Oh, I'm already planning a movie in my head.
Oh yeah, hang on. I'm writing down this joke so I don't forget to tell you after we're off of here, because otherwise it'll get us an explicit tag. Okay.
Okay. Two remakes: My Tutor, which is some 80s sex comedy. I don't know what
yes,
this is.
Yes.
And then the RoboCop poster came out, which just
looks like CG.
It looks lame. It looks so silly.
It's going to be RoboCop 3 is what they're remaking.
It looks like a RoboCop Pez head dispenser. Like, it looks so dumb.
Maybe it's in 3D.
Oh, we can only hope. Yeah. Or something.
I'm done.
Okay, I got one last thing, and that's just, I already posted on the site, but if you are of Barry's and my age or any older, in college around that time, in your 30s or right now, or you know, whatever, you probably remember MTV's The State featuring, you know, $240 worth of pudding, which I put up. This show's coming to DVD at some point in the future here pretty soon. The DVDs are done. I'm excited. I want to see it again.
Awesome.
That, and I remember, I think, I can't remember if it was The State or The Kids in the Hall that did the skit that drew the Italian and the redhead gay.
That sounds like The State.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
And it is done as a sitcom, and it's wrong, but glorious, yes. Completely along with wrong. The other ones that we can't really mention on the air.
Right, right. Last one I got, City of Ember is doing a really interesting promo for Comic-Con. This is interesting. City of Ember, this is the fantasy film starring Bill Murray. Walden Media is the producers of this film. Basically, for 25 members of the elite press, which would not include us, the elite press, they're basically being invited to go on this train. This train is it's a 2.5-hour journey to the convention. And only 25 members of the press are allowed. And one of the cars on this train will have like 15 minutes of promo footage of City of Ember. But yeah, 2.5 hours to the Comic-Con conventions.
So they're just driving around San Diego, or what are they?
I don't know what the starting point is. It's a secret. They don't want to give it away.
Okay, can I?
They don't want people to like rob the train like Butch and Sundance.
I'm not going to say that the movie looks bad, because honestly, whichever. But this sounds like a stunt out of America's Sweethearts.
Sure, exactly. Yeah, it's like some weird junk and stunt, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently they said...
did you watch that yet?
No, that's on my desk too.
Okay, well, in Variety, because Variety said that, you know, the whole thing with Iron Man last year was so successful. They say that, you know, one of the factors of Iron Man being such a hit is because it went so well, like gangbusters at Comic-Con. They really, Walden Media really wanted to come up with a really big promo. And
well, then I can't think of the right word. People at the convention, the regular people that pay for it, go on the train too. Why can't they do tours or something?
That's kind of where the America's Sweethearts thing came in for me. Yeah,
I'm hoping like Bill Murray would be the conductor of the train. That's
yeah. How cool would that be?
If he starts laughing when I clean scares all the press. That'd be great. I'm just saying.
What if it's just a trap and something's actually happening on the train?
It's actually going to be Saw 5.
Oh, maybe. Hopefully, we can only hope.
Okay, shall we take a quick break?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll be right back.
The new and improved Geek Label Radio. We've rebuilt it. Better. Stronger. Faster. Every week, join the Kingfish.
He likes to dip into the icky.
Super producer Billy Flynn.
Let me see if I can crack some code.
And the Vicar.
I give you the Vicar. The campaign artard.
As they rub down in Vaseline.
Holy crap.
No! Evil, evil, evil.
Join hands.
So good, I actually now have to go home and clean my pants.
And share their feelings.
I was taking them on four at a time.
I don't remember any details.
In a totally non-threatening hetero kind of way. Hear from industry veterans.
This is Tracy Hickman.
Hi, this is Jim Lee.
Hi, this is George Takei.
And your hosts, as they opine pointlessly.
Let's talk about farting in public.
Oh, let's.
Yes.
About comics, gaming, movies, and geekly news.
Orville Redenbacher has risen from the grave.
I knew it. You owe me $6.
Geek Label Radio.
I like it. It's good.
It's a total waste of time. But what the hell? So's EverQuest.
Oh, that just happened.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
Do a little dance.
Make a little love.
Get down tonight.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of that just happened, sorry, I'll leave it alone there, but it's a funny joke, so I had to take it. If you listen to GRD, then you'll know the joke that I just pulled. All right, then. Shall we get onto our topic for the week?
Yes.
And thus why I sat through a certain movie again.
You're a very good man, Dave.
Oh, you did.
I did.
For those who want the interesting backstory, when I first met Dave, I met him at a lunch. It was my wife and his wife introducing the two of us, and his wife Stephanie proceeded to tell me about how one of the worst nights of her life was when Dave took her to see AI. And it was funny that like the first time I meet you, I hear this story about how this movie has like haunted your whole life.
It still reminds me occasionally. But so anyway, the reason why it's funny
is because it's one of my favorite films of all time. In fact, I thought it was the best film of 2001. I did. I'll admit to that. So anyway, the topic is movies that divide audiences. Obviously, with Hulk, you know, you got to talk about Ang Lee's Hulk and M. Night Shyamalan. There's so many of his films that divide audiences, including the one that currently just opened and made $30 million.
The Crappening.
The Crappening. Yes.
So you actually put yourself through AI again?
I did.
And?
He's holding the copy. Yeah. Yeah, that's one movie I don't think I minded watching in full screen because I just, you know.
Less is better.
You know, I don't hate the movie as much as I did.
Okay.
Doesn't mean I like it. Once it becomes Blade Runner / Last You Come Home, I was kind of...
Done.
Yeah. Like the first 45 minutes to an hour, actually, I thought was really moving and very well done. And then I honestly really felt like it fell apart. And when the ending happens, if you haven't seen it, it's legendary, so most people probably do, but... If it ended, I still maintain, if it ended with him looking at the blue fairy and with that voiceover and just let it go there, I would have been okay with the ending. But the fact that they moved on still pisses me off.
I find the ending so dark. My interpretation of the ending.
Exactly.
This is minor spoilers here for an 8-year-old movie. But
there's no DNA in hair without the follicle. I'm just saying.
All right. Well, but
but in the future there is.
Granted that it ends with the boy in bed with his dead mother, and he dies next to her. I find that so much more tragic and Kubrickian than I think. You know, the music that John Williams has makes it like, you know, a little more, you know, maybe fluffier than it really is, because I think the ending is as dark as maybe Kubrick even intended, honestly.
So you think you're saying it'd be a good double feature with Tideland? Sorry.
Oh my God, you'd have to pay me so much money. I would probably rather be castrated than actually go through that. I don't know.
I wouldn't do that either. That's just cruel.
God, that'd be like 5 hours of robots and talking finger puppets. I just couldn't.
Now, have you seen AI too?
Like back when it first came out.
Not a fan yourself?
Or? I would watch it again. I just remember how freaking depressed I was at the end of that movie.
If I had to suffer, you do too. Here you go.
Oh, God. I'll make my brother watch it with me. Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, that's actually the first DVD I ever bought. And one thing I told Dave, see, it's the full screen edition. So that, you know, that's what happens when you're a first time DVD buyer. You're stupid.
You don't know any better.
Yeah. And then you look back and you're like, God.
You're like, oh man, I don't get to see all the robots.
I forgot Jude Law was in this.
Yeah, wasn't Jude Law great in it? Come on, that was a great performance.
It wasn't. You know, actually, I don't think I ever had a problem with Jude Law in the movie. It was the story. You know, Haley Joel Osment, I don't know if he ever got crap for it, but he didn't deserve it. I thought he was really good.
Yeah.
He had a great performance. It's just...
You know, I just remember the scene where they're like taking robots and destroying them at like some fair.
Yeah, that's the second
I was so disturbed by that.
The flesh fair. When you got Chris Rock, you want to aim me over the propeller?
Yeah. I was just like, why on earth?
Yeah.
So, no. My first DVD... was Coyote Ugly.
Oh, wow, man. That's actually on my list of movies that...
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because most people I know love that movie, and I hate that
film. Okay, you've got your first ones. My first... I actually bought two the day that I bought my DVD player. I got Dark City and The Aliens Director's Cut.
Good choice, man.
Oh, see, yeah.
Wow, you started off strong.
Yes, yes.
I think Coyote Ugly and Blade 1.
But yeah, I think I'm good forever without watching AI again. Sorry, my wife was in the room, so I wanted to see if I got a reaction.
She made a Hitchcock in cameos.
She just holds that right now.
The anger continues.
Wait, so you hate Coyote Ugly?
Yes.
For what?
It's so stupid.
It is.
It's so stupid. And for me, like, the irredeemable moment is when John Goodman gets on the bar at the end and starts taking his shirt off. It's just like, I can't. And then Leanne Rimes like randomly shows up. Like, oh,
I just remember being like a 14-year-old boy and going to go see that and just being an absolute heaven. So that's
Piper Parable.
I was in love with Piper Parable.
And Tyra Banks, everybody.
The blonde-haired like Russian girl. Whatever
was. Whatever the heck happened to her? Yeah.
She was in that
vampire movie.
Yeah. And then nothing else.
Yeah.
What else is on your list?
Because I've listened to your list. I'm like, I didn't come up with one because yours was so stinking good.
All right. Oh, well, okay. let's go with the non-extreme ones that we won't fight like for 5 minutes.
Oh, no, I think we should do those too.
Okay. Well, T3. I really like T3 a lot.
I did too.
I really liked it. It's not T1 or 2. It isn't. But I think it's
so much better than it had any business being.
No.
It really was. And now T4. Sorry, I had to go back to that.
No, I loved Christina Loken's character. I thought the chase scene with the truck and all that was awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
Yes. Claire Danes wasn't bad in it. I mean, it was a stronger movie than I expected, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, one of my favorites, but it's not, like you said, it's not T1, it's not T2.
Yeah.
But it's not awful either.
It's fun. I admit the jokes are a little much. When he puts on the star sunglasses, or even like, I mean, there's just the whole talk to the hand thing. Yeah, there's like all these dumb forced jokes. Like they're trying a little too much for the humor. That made
they're going
so
for
good.
Hasta la Vista, baby.
Yes, and they didn't quite get there.
No, it's kind of, never mind. Well, right. No, let's go there. It's like, you know, doing Star Trek 4 and then doing Star Trek Insurrection. Just saying. Okay.
I really like the dark ending of it too, the way it ended.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
With the war beginning. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, I like it. Yeah, exactly. It's like full circle, but I know a lot of people are like, oh, it doesn't have the big emotional resonance of the alien being like lowered into the molten lava, you know.
So the world ending is not like an emotional. It's like, and everyone does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it'd be interesting. You know, you're stuck in a compound with Claire Danes. You have to like repopulate the world. Like
here in Colorado, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
I got no problem with that.
Okay. Moving on, sir.
All right, Godfather 3. I love the Godfather 3. I did. Let's talk about this. Sophia Coppola ruined the movie for
you?
Did she really?
Yes.
Because I hear that from everybody. And
waste of space. She's a very talented director.
Yeah, she's a great director.
I respect her greatly.
She is, yeah.
Oh.
But like her role, like her character.
And at the end, when like the helicopters and the machine guns wasting the entire office, yeah. And I really?
That's like Grand Theft Auto style. Not Godfather style.
Yes. It kind of made the turn like Alone in the Dark when the SWAT team jumps in through the windows.
I'm kidding. Where are they?
Everywhere.
And then darkness. Yeah. And then,
yeah. Yeah. No. That was very much a joke. I really think it is a pale, pale shadow compared to the other two films.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably part of the reason why I haven't revisited it since. But.
Well, a lot of people said it was just one of those sequels where they waited way too long. They hated the fact that Pacino has his hair. It looks like he stuck his tongue in a socket and his hair is like gray and sticking out. And, you know, I had no problem with that. He looked like John Gotti, which makes someone relevant.
I had no problem with the time issue because I bought the box set and then watched all three films, you know, mm-hmm. night after night after night. I mean, my Steph loves the series. I don't know if she didn't really like the third one too much, but she's the reason why we still own it because – she's like, no, we're keeping that. You mentioned trading that away again one more time. You know,
that's kind of like me in Back to the Future 3. I feel the same way about that.
It's really?
I liked the third one. I really didn't like the third one that much.
I wish they'd gone more places. You know.
It's yeah.
Like,
same
like,
here,
why didn't they go to like Knights of the Round Table?
To the
like,
West.
Oh, stay in the West. Yeah. Like I wish there was a little more. But I like the flying train at the end. I thought that was kind of.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
If you want
cool.
more, just go rent Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and you're good.
I have that.
Okay. Good man. Okay.
Oh, we can move on from Godfather.
Well, I don't know. I mean, why did you like it so much? I mean, I think that's a very good question too, because I mean, it's more a matter of understanding.
Okay. You know, well, okay. Right? Well, you know, kind of like the reason you hated AI. I love the story of three, that it's about this man who's literally trying to buy redemption from the Vatican. He's literally searching for redemption, and no matter what he does, he screws up and he can't get his hands out of it. I love Andy Garcia. I think he is the son of Sonny Corleone. And you know, I can't say it's a good performance that Coppola does. I know that, but I think that her character is supposed to be awkward and, you know, inexperienced at the things of love and romance. So when she does get seduced by Andy Garcia's character, I thought, okay, I buy it. However, you know, if it was Winona Ryder, like it was supposed to be originally, I think the movie would have been perfect because Winona Ryder is a very forceful actress, whereas Sofia Coppola obviously is not.
Okay. Well, I have to ask you one question. You bring up the fact that Corleone keeps screwing up. Do you think it's that, or do you think it's the fact that the church kept screwing him over?
A little of both. A little of both.
I love how corrupt they showed the church. I will be really honest. I love that aspect of it.
Oh, sure. But the key line of the movie is, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. You know, he keeps doing this crap to himself. And, you know, as much as he wants to be a legitimate man, I think this is ultimately, you know, his being punished, you know, for his sins, for what it was, for, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very, very Catholic film. But, yeah, I thought it was the best film of 1990.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm always getting myself in trouble when I say it's like the best film of that year. It's like, oh.
That's okay. Like I said, I tell people you're the human walking IMDb because that's okay because that's more than I ever will know.
Well, but when I say it's like when I thought like AI was the best of 2000, like really? No other good movies that came out that year? That was the best of the year? Yeah, so.
Well, there is that too. Okay, yeah. All right, sir.
Revenge of the Sith. I love Revenge of the Sith. I think it's the best of the prequels. Thank you.
Yeah, I do too. No, I totally do.
This table just got wider between Dave and I.
No. I mean, it did have the best acting of the entire scene. That was when Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman didn't say a word. So I will give you that.
But let me geek out for a second.
The action was cool.
Wasn't the lightsaber battle between Yoda and the Emperor awesome?
See, I just...
Frogger Yoda returns.
I hated Frogger Yoda. And I hated that they were intercutting that with the Anakin and Obi-Wan fight, because that should have been one whole thing, because that was such a pivotal thing in the storyline of all the films.
Okay, I have to make a note. Okay, I'm going to post up a link to the good gentleman at Geekson who did a radio play performance of Star Wars Episode 3, the abridged script. It is hilarious and makes so much sense in so many ways. So I will go ahead and put that on there.
Yeah. But I really, I mean, I hated Attack of the Clones with every bone in my body for some reason. But so going into Revenge of the Sith, I was like, yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really awesome. I love the opening star fights or mm-hmm. battle scene and stuff. So
it's like saying this is the best crap sandwich I've ever had.
All right, let me get back to defending it. The scene where basically it's at that weird intergalactic opera where the Emperor basically seduces Anakin verbally into going along with him. I think that's a great scene. I think the acting. I thought Ian McDiarmid was just terrific in that movie. For me, he really was, like, I'd say as good as like Alec Guinness in the original movie. I thought he was so good in that movie. The best performance in the film.
Yes, I will give you that for sure. Ian McDiarmid was really good in it. I didn't buy Anakin's crossing over. It was like out of nowhere. Okay, I'll have to serve you now. Really? That was kind of fast. Okay, let's go kill people. All right.
Oh, see, I thought he was being lured the whole movie.
Because the whole idea is like, he finds like, okay, really? The dark side can cheat death well, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm off to go kill the children. Okay, sorry.
I thought that whole scene, I thought that was good.
I like that scene, yeah.
And when they're executing all the other Jedi, I thought that was emotional.
Great
and,
sequence, yeah. Yeah. I was very emotional.
And the Wookiees, it's all...
Yeah, honestly, I was very, very choked up and emotional for most of the movie. I thought it was a very emotionally powerful film. But
you showed more emotion than anyone else did on that screen.
Obviously. But
just saying.
And it's got some real problems. Hayden Christensen, I mean, this is, I'd say, his weakest performance of the two films.
Why the other movie he's done is Jumper.
He's done other good movies.
Yes.
You know, since Awake was not that bad.
No, I mean, since the trilogy wrapped up. I will say this. If Episode 3 was the worst of the prequel trilogy, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But saying that it's the best ain't saying a whole heck of a lot.
So it's like Fantastic Four 2 to you? It's better than the first one, but that doesn't mean it's good?
Fair enough, yes. Okay. Even though I do own both Fantastic Four movies. But yeah.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Because to me, to me, it's not like a matter of like it's one big trilogy. To me, these are all very, very separate films, and I can look at them, for better or for worse. But to me, like the prequel, I'll just defend the prequel trilogy. Very uneven, not as good as the originals, obviously, but I still enjoy them. The first one has great action, crap almost everything else.
Episode 1,
yippee!
Episode 2, rolling through flowers. Episode 3, where's Padme? No! That's pretty much how I wrap it up. I don't know. Yeah, I've got nothing but hate for those movies.
So you didn't like Clones at all?
No.
You didn't like the big scene at the end in the Coliseum?
That was...
Clone Wars, yes, the cartoon.
But I thought I thought that was the movie was going to be like the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yes.
That's why I was like, what? And I didn't understand it. I just could not figure out what was going on with the whole water planet and the actual like Empire buying the troops. I just couldn't understand. I couldn't connect the plot points. Maybe I think I was still on my Spider-Man high because it came out like 2 weeks.
That's right. Yeah.
And I remember I was like, this movie better not make as much as Spider-Man. Like I was like pissed that
and
actually.
It did.
Okay, good.
I here's the best way I can describe it. The first movie I saw 4 times in the theater. The second movie I saw on Netflix. The third movie I saw in bootleg. If that really just
on bootleg,
you waited to see it on Netflix?
Yes, I did.
Wow!
Like 6 months after it came out on DVD, Netflix.
See, even if they made, I would hate for them to make another Matrix, but I'd still go to the theater and see it just because I'm a.
I saw Attack of the Clones 4 times, and one of those times was the IMAX version.
Oh, was it cool on IMAX?
It's awesome. And they cut all the love scenes out. They made
it
shorter.
Okay, see, then I might
They
watch
cut
it.
All that crap about your skin is as smooth and not like sand. Oh, they cut all those
that was
scenes
so
out.
Dumb.
It was like strictly
so it's
like
the Phantom Edit?
Yes.
Okay.
It was like that. All the awkward scenes were gone.
I would watch that version.
It made
again.
It better, it made it a more action movie, and you know, and really, obviously, the love story was not one of the strong points in the movie. So for me, it made it a much better film.
I actually would watch that again if I could see that cut. I would give it another chance.
You guys both hated the other Matrixes, didn't you?
The second one I thought was a real lemon. The third one I liked, but I don't think it's a good movie.
Saw the first one 4 times in the theater. Saw the second one opening morning. Saw the third one about 3 years after it came out. Borrowed it from a buddy on DVD and fast-forwarded to 3/4. There you go.
You fast-forwarded it?
I was bored.
I love the battle in the third one, the robot battle. I thought was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that Neo is all of a sudden vulnerable again and blind. I'm like, okay, I don't know if he's going to live or not. They're good. They're suspense. Unlike the second one where he's flying around. It's like he clearly cannot die.
I think it was more clear that the writers had no idea what they were doing.
Well, it's like they wanted everything to have like some weird special extra meaning. Like the part where like Monica Bellucci for no reason is making out with Keanu Reeves in the bathroom. I can appreciate that. But at the same time, it's like, what does this have to do with anything? And, you know, maybe, sorry, I didn't read Nietzsche. I don't understand what this particular scene.
That is true. I
kind of
felt like, should I understand what's going on?
But at the same time, I know a lot of, I mean, it's more guys than women, but a lot of guys really found a lot of philosophical meanings in The Matrix. And it was, we were led to believe the whole time that was meant to be there.
Yeah.
And if it was meant to be there through all three movies, it should have made sense.
Well, this is the problem is the second one, you get to the architect, and right when you figure out, you think you know what's going to happen, it's like, wait, what? Then the third, I remember there's all this.
Will Ferrell was a better architect than the
he
architect was.
He looked like Colonel Sanders. Well, they both looked like Colonel Sanders.
Yes.
But I remember everyone spitting out like, oh, it's a Matrix on top of a Matrix theory and all that. And then it was just like this build up to kind of no twist or anything. It was just kind of.
The architect scene was like the one of the few scenes of that film I really like. I'm like, wow, this is really, mind-blowing.
Yeah,
you know?
Might actually go somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Unlike the rest of the film, it's like, I don't care about any of these characters. I don't care who the twins are. It didn't hook me at all.
I mean, I will admit the car chase was amazing. There's no...
You didn't like the burly brawl with all the Smiths?
There's no suspense. It was like watching somebody else play a video game.
Again, I liked watching the Justin Timberlake and Sean William Scott. When the spoof is better than the original...
No,
that's up.
I saw Reloaded. You like Burly Brawl?
I did like it. I saw Reloaded like 5 times in the theater.
Wow, man.
But then again, freshman in high school, like the best movie ever seen.
Well, no, and if you like it, again, this isn't like you're saying, you know, In the Name of the King was a great film. Then I'd have to, you know, well.
Although it's so hard for me to go back and revisit those films because I actually did a Matrix like day where I watched all the Animatrix, all 3 films.
Animatrix is good.
Animatrix is terrific.
Yeah. And at the end of it, I was so like just mind boggled that I was like, I don't think I could watch these for another like 6 years. So
you're like looking at a spoon, you're trying to bend it with your mind.
Yeah. What other?
All right. Star Trek 5. Let's talk about Star Trek 5.
Does God need a starship?
I defend Star Trek 5 because it's like I think Shatner
makes fun of Star Trek 5 now.
But in his recent bio, he said it's a movie that had a lot of ambition, but it has no ending at all. And that's because the studio would not give him the money to do it. But there are scenes in that movie, I think, that are better than anything in Insurrection, better than anything in Nemesis.
That's tough.
I think
but those are easy to beat. give me 10 minutes. I'll go in the bathroom and get you a better movie.
I liked Lawrence Luckenbill as Cybok, and I love that opening scene where you see like a Klingon laugh. I thought that was a real stunning way to open that film. The campfire scene is terrible, yes.
There's a campfire scene?
Row your boat.
It's bad, it's bad.
There's bad and then there's that scene.
But the movie's ambitious. There's that whole sequence, like it's set in that Western town. Like it's like trying to like, you know, reference Westerns of the past. Like I thought there was a lot going on in that movie that was good. I think the ending ultimately kills it though. Because it is so anticlimactic. They get to God, and it looks like an REO Speedwagon light show. I mean, it's...
They get to God? They meet God?
No, they don't.
No, it's an alien pretending to be God.
Yes. Oh, okay.
And people say that's really Shatner's ego. It's an alien.
It's actually Melvar. That's who it is.
That's right. All right, so obviously I'm not getting anywhere defending Star Trek 5.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, I own it for completion's sake, just the same reason why I own most of the Next Generation movies, just for completion's sake.
Have you seen the footage, though, of the Rockman that they try to create?
No. Is it like in
it looks
Quest?
It looks so cool. It's a little better than that.
Okay.
It looks so cool, but of course he wanted like an army of them, and Paramount would only pay for one of them. But like to me, it's like you see a glimpse of the movie he tried to make. And like I give him props because the movie he tried to make was so ambitious and so cool, and unfortunately, it is
And, you know, I really don't blame Shatner much for it just because I don't know much of the background. I know it's on the screen, and it's a pile.
And that's an excellent point.
That's really
that's excellent. That's what you're paying to see. You're not paying for the movie that was or could have been, and you're paying for the movie that is. So you're right.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. But, you probably won't get me coming around on that one. That's one DVD in my collection that may very well stay sealed for all time.
It's like the Ark of the Covenant.
Only not from God. I'm sorry.
All right, Marie Antoinette. Here's a movie that people love or hate.
I never got around to that.
You never got around to seeing it?
No.
It was a really pretty movie.
That's what I heard.
And I'm done. I thought Schwartzman was actually pretty funny in it.
Yeah, he was very good in that.
And beyond that, I mean, I didn't have a problem with the soundtrack. It's just it never grabbed me even a little bit. No, not at all. I was about the same as the other Boleyn girl, honestly.
Oh, really? Oh,
that's how much it grabbed me.
I couldn't do other Boleyn girl again.
I really couldn't do Marie Antoinette again.
There you go.
You liked other Boleyn girl? Did you see it?
Josh's brother is sitting in.
Cody is here with us today.
So do you want to come over on a mic and defend your
movie? Did you like the other Boleyn girl?
Yeah, I did.
How come?
Just because I thought it was interesting.
Fair enough.
And it had Queen Amidala in it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's all good. It's worth like, getting that. Hey.
To have that perspective.
If you ever sit in on the audience, you're probably going to get called on. That's just right. Saying.
It always tends to happen. It's either your mom or your brother.
Yes.
Going to have your dad in here soon. Vanilla Sky.
I love Vanilla Sky.
I like Vanilla Sky. No?
I didn't hate it. I just kind of, yeah. It was I was trying really hard to be really deep and cerebral, and I liked the twist at the end. I enjoyed that, but the rest of the movie is like, I could have cut it to a half hour, and I'm good. Mm. You know, make it a Twilight Zone episode.
Too drawn out, you thought?
Yes.
I love the soundtrack to it. I really liked it. That's like one of my favorite movies. I think it's on my top 10.
I think the opening scene is brilliant.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. You know, the fact that they did it without CGI, and it's really Tom Cruise running around an empty Times Square, I think it's just astonishing.
Him with that mask is freaking creepy.
Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite movies. So
cool. Yeah, I really like Vanilla Sky.
Cool. We got time for about one or two more. So
oh crap, do we?
Yes. We're like at an hour. So yeah, just short of an hour. I mean, I guess we can keep going. I guess we really don't have to stick
this
to
is
an
fun.
Hour. Yeah, let's go through a few more.
Well, I'm just naming the ones that like movies I like most people hate. Let's talk about movies I hate most people like. That'll be more fun for me.
This will give you a chance to unload.
Well, I'll go off the list. National Treasure, The Da Vinci Code, Seabiscuit, Titanic, The Perfect Storm, Boondock Saints. I hate that movie.
So far, every single one of those I hated.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay,
Hitch, Atonement, The English Patient, Transformers.
I think we've covered Transformers.
I think we have enough. Runaway Bride, Armageddon, Deep Impact. Both of those movies suck. United 93, I hated that movie.
You did? Why?
I thought it was exploitative. I did. I thought, you know, I know it's supposed to be all celebratory and stuff, but when you're watching, like, you know, forgive me for saying this, but like when you're watching the terrorists win, they crash the plane, you know, to me, it doesn't make me happy. Like, oh, that's so great. This moment, this one brief shining moment. It's about how we lost and how horrible that was. And you see this movie of people screaming and knowing that death is imminent, and you see the terrorists stab that guy to death. I'm like, it just made me angry.
So would you rather like they won and the plane like made
well,
it
obviously that's obviously not what happened, so you can't do that. But you know, for me, and I know it's a much more commercial movie. I know it's a much more slick commercial movie, but World Trade Center for me celebrated the people that died and the heroism that happened that day, as opposed to when we lost, when these planes smacked into a building and we couldn't do anything to stop that.
Okay, so can I ask you a question?
Of course. Just say it.
I'm not going to say that this movie is anywhere on par with United 93, because I'm sure you're going to say that United 93 is a masterpiece compared to this. But as far as exploitative, would you compare it to the opening of Postal?
And that's a good question.
When you say exploitative, I mean, now we actually have who thought we'd have a frame of reference for exploitative about 9/11?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But we do.
You know what? For me, I'm trying to stay away from your question, but to me, like an ideal of a film that tackles this in the way it would be Reign Over Me,
mm-hmm.
or you know,
yes.
But anyway, to finally answer your question, I don't think it's because Postal did it and it's like, ha, 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 look at this. Whereas yes. United 93, as much as I really dislike the movie, I know its heart was in the right place. And I know many people were very moved by it and very affected by it. I just was not one of those people.
I still have no need to see either of those movies. And I know people, 93 or World Trade Center. I just haven't felt the need to see
them. And I know people who see Schindler's List as a very exploitative film about the Holocaust. Like, there shouldn't be a Holocaust movie. You shouldn't see the Nazis like doing these horrific things. It's like an exploitation film. I don't feel that way. But that's how I felt about, you know, 93.
I just want to give you a chance to really, because we have that scene now, when you say exploitative, I think it's very important to give you the chance to really flesh out what you mean by that. So that's why I wanted to bring that question up.
And intentions are a big deal. There's a world difference between love, let's make a World Trade Center joke.
Yeah,
exactly.
Have you seen Boondock Saints?
Yes.
Did you hate it too? I don't know why every
kid... I'll watch the prequel trilogy again first.
Oh, wow. All the kids... Wow. I mean, I was... I was recommended...
I'll watch Indiana Jones 4 again first.
Oh, I wouldn't go there.
That's going to get me so many of my friends. I'm just saying.
Recommended this movie to me, and I watched it, and with them, and they're like, isn't this awesome? And I'm like, no, this is...
The bartender. I like the bartender.
Well, they were such bad people, and you couldn't root for them, and the only good guy was... William Defoe's crazy ass character.
He ends up in drag at one point.
What the hell is going on? I just really didn't like it.
Yeah. No.
I thought overnight the documentary about the making of the movie was so much better.
If you're going to look for like a Sean Patrick Flannery movie that's good, go watch Suicide Kings for crying out loud.
Go watch Power for Pete's sake.
Yeah. Ooh.
Do you have any more?
You hated everyone liked.
Keep going.
Which one?
The ones you hated everyone liked. Yeah,
okay, yeah. Yes. let's see. Where was I? Facing the Giants, but we'll get to that in another show. Date movie, Pirates of the Caribbean 2, which I thought was lousy. The Royal Tenenbaums.
I hated that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like that film at all. I like Wes Anderson, but for me that movie was like, for me it was like Darjeeling Limited. It's just too much style. I couldn't like any of the characters. To me it was just too much like, look how hip and cool our movie was.
I can't explain it, but I really dug it. It grabbed me for some reason. Yeah, but I can totally understand because I can't tell you why I liked it. I just did.
And for that matter,
Rushmore is a far better movie. I think.
And I can't tell you why I hated it. So yes. What else? Problem Child. I hate that movie.
Who likes that movie?
It was a big fat hit.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so was Fool's Gold,
and so was Transformers.
And so it was the next movie, Shark Tale.
Oh, I never saw that.
No. And that's really it.
I dodged that one. Yeah. Well, you know, DreamWorks, so, yeah. I'm just kidding. Actually, I didn't have my DreamWorks hate then, but I just was...
I've heard Kung Fu Panda is terrific.
Yeah, I have too.
I need to see it, so...
I have too. I just can't bring myself to
pay for it.
Like, I refuse! No, it's just I got a limited movie-watching budget, and there's no space, so, yeah.
Because Dark Knight's 5 times. You have to see that 5 times.
Yeah. Okay. Have you got anything else, or is that the end of your list?
Well, I've got more on the list of movies that are going to make me look bad because I defend them. you know, like the Pink Panther remake with Steve Martin.
Oh, really?
I really liked it. Yeah.
Nate's going to stand with you on that one.
Thank you.
Yes.
Cody agrees with me. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Very good.
So yeah.
We'll see you at the sequel.
Yes. Yes. Alien Resurrection. I liked it. I did.
You know, I like it in a this is a video game kind of way. It's like watching someone playing a video game when she's just like wasting them. And sometimes you just want to see aliens blow up. And, you know, that's a good movie for it.
I liked it until the human alien. And then I was just like...
Yeah.
The white hybrid, yeah.
Yeah, with the little nose thing.
It's actually powder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was wondering.
Son of powder.
But I thought it was good. I think, you know, I know you're going to hate me for saying this, but I think it's an interesting precursor for Serenity because all those crew members, they're kind of like a tryout for...
I can see that.
They're all rugged space cowboys.
Yeah, Ron Perlman is Adam Baldwin's character.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that angle is interesting. I think the action sequences are really cool. I love this scene where she finds the clone versions of herself. I thought that was very powerful. For all the hatred that Joss Whedon has for his own movie, I think there's some great stuff in it.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I'm just not... I mean, aliens, come on. Everything else is kind of pales in comparison.
But compared to Alien 3, I thought much better.
Well, yes. Yes.
Yeah, but a lot of things are better than Aliens.
There you go. All right.
The Village.
I actually...
Dave just got very angry.
I don't mind it. I've seen it twice now, I think.
I'm going to show you a costume, but then pretend you're a complete idiot and that I didn't show you a costume. Just saying.
Well, he's kind of questioning. He's making the audience question.
Yeah, she's in the woods. Just, like, is it real? Is it not real?
You mean the costume that you just saw hanging on a hanger in a shed?
Because he says there are rumors. There are rumors that they existed, but
it's otherwise... the glass grasping threads of an insane madman trying to keep control over people. And they expect you to buy into it. Oh, no.
I thought it was cool. I thought it was decent.
And I thought Bryce Dallas Howard was fantastic in that.
Yeah.
She was so much better in Lady in the Water. Sorry.
Really?
Oh, went there. Yes, I did.
Wow, I got to disagree with you. Yeah.
I just because anything a village shows she is with a village, period. No. No.
I thought the opening, the first scene where the monsters came and to the houses and stuff was really creepy.
Yeah, great scene.
Yeah, and then they flushed all the goodwill. I mean, he put... power dump.
Okay, so you're...
Power dump? Wow.
All right, so I'll explain what that is off the air, too.
I think I can guess.
So you grab them? Never mind.
All right, so Dave, so you're of many people believe that the consensus is that if it's a minor spoiler, if it had been real monsters, the movie would have been so much better.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat, yes.
But you didn't think it was interesting as a political
because
statement.
It was Shyamalan trying to make me feel like an idiot. When you start taking for granted, when you think that I didn't just see what I saw, and you frame it as if I didn't just see what I saw, you're treating me like I'm a complete moron.
You don't find it all compelling, this community that they had to set up and these people that had to live in this manufactured
until the
fear?
Monsters, yes. It sometimes there's something that takes such a turn on you. It makes you turn on the entire film no matter what. Mm. That's what this was.
Okay.
What if the terrorists are actually aliens? No, M. Night, that's a twist, not a plot.
It made me feel like I was the he was treating me like the David Arquette ripoff in the Date movie series.
Okay.
I mean the Scary Movie series. You know, when he's humping the vacuum.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like he was treating me like. And I've never forgiven him for that.
Well, I wouldn't forgive him for that either.
Yes.
I actually didn't like Sixth Sense that much.
Really?
Yeah, I would say that I liked Signs a lot more than Sixth Sense.
Unbreakable.
I didn't like Unbreakable.
You didn't like Unbreakable. How come?
I just didn't. Maybe that's I need like to watch it again since I've gotten more into comic books and stuff, but I just thought it was like, really? Like, I didn't see that aspect coming, and I thought it was going to be more supernatural. And I understand that it was like a build to kind of defining these characters to be like comic book heroes and stuff, but it just didn't. I didn't feel like there was a payoff. Didn't feel like there was his twist. So.
Which I kind of like the fact that there wasn't a huge twist. I mean, something that you could see coming, you know, in Sixth Sense, it's kind of like, where did that come from? Okay, there's very subtle hints. Unbreakable kind of spells it out for you if you're paying attention.
Yeah. Well, I thought the opening, my big problem with the movie, though I think it's a perfect film, I love the film, is the opening and closing title cards. You know, the opening thing about comic books and the closing thing about what happened afterwards. Yeah. I just thought that they didn't need that. They didn't need to tack that on. It felt tacked on. But I guess like yourself, when I saw it in the theater, I thought, oh, from the trailer, he must be an angel or something.
Yeah, that's what
you
I
know,
thought
that's
it
like,
was
really
go
comics? Huh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'd give that another chance. I'd watch that again.
There you go. All right.
Contact? Do you like Contact?
I like Contact.
I love Contact.
I think 2 hours of my life I will never get back.
Is it just because the alien thing at the end is such a letdown? For so many people,
I was
really
bored
is.
Through the whole thing.
Really? The whole thing?
Yeah, and I'm like, well, at least I'm going to get to see an alien out of this. You're kidding me. Real? No. Oh. Oh, hell no.
I thought it was such an intelligent examination of the difference between science and faith and how the two need to coexist for a same hypothesis to be reached. That's using big words, but
culminating in the biggest cop-out of all time.
No, I don't think it was a cop-out, though, at the end.
And I actually watched that in one of my college classes at Boulder in my black holes class, and it's like one of the most accurate scientific films like ever made. Like all the mathematics about behind everything, and we like studied every little aspect about that movie, and it's like almost 100% like pure accurate.
What? Sorry,
it was, maybe that's why I liked it. because we studied it like that, and it was interesting to look at.
And if
at
you had that kind
like
of context, I'm sure that's great. But when I'm in high school and I just go sit in the theater. And
all right, well, look, if she saw an alien at the end, don't you think that would have made it so much harder to like have the either way? Because, I mean, the movie ends in a way that's very ambiguous. If she saw an alien, it would be harder to believe that she didn't have that real experience. But because she sees, spoiler, her dad, then it's like, well, then it obviously had to be in her mind, or was it? I thought it made the question more wider.
And I think that I actually think that seeing an alien would have been more of a cop-out than the actual ending.
I didn't care. Her dad really... You couldn't comprehend. Okay, there's vision receptors. I see what's in front of me. Okay. Maybe I don't know how, understand how to translate that or what I'm seeing. Show it to me.
I stand on you with Contact.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Another movie I love. Okay, movie that Dave and I really love that a lot of people really hated was Peter Pan. The Peter Pan that came out in 2003.
You really didn't like that.
Thank you. Okay, there we go. Why did you like this movie?
I couldn't decide whether it was a kid or an adult movie.
You thought it...
Yeah,
it just went both ways.
Yeah, walking on both lines, and it just like pissed me off.
So, a lot of people said they felt that there was sexual tension between Peter Pan and,
and Wendy.
Yeah, Wendy. Yeah, I didn't feel that way at all.
I know several women who have seen this who say that Peter Pan had no right to look that hot that young. I'm not going to say
not his fault.
Wrong. I know.
Wrong.
bad touch. Okay. I don't know why I went there.
I just really saw that on Christmas Day too. Just like,
so did I. Did you see it at the Cinemark?
Yeah,
we're probably in the same theater.
I was just excited because they had the Coldplay song playing the trailer.
Yeah,
and I
was like,
that was really cool. And then it just,
you know, I really dug the dad from Harry Potter playing Captain Hook, and you know,
Wendy's. Jason Isaacs.
Yeah, Jason. I thought he was awesome.
Great.
I didn't have a single problem with that movie at all. I love the soundtrack. I adore the soundtrack.
You know what's weird? As kind of a little side note, you know the music of that movie they use in the Walt Disney World.
I know.
Previews all the time. It's like, it's weird. It's not even a Disney movie, but here it is, the Peter Pan music.
I think it's hilarious.
In the Disney World commercials they show on TV all the time.
Oh. Huh.
Anyway. No,
didn't do it for me.
Did you like Hook better?
I haven't seen that in so long. I imagine it's not as good now.
You know, I love Hook.
Honestly. Is it? Okay.
That's a movie that, like, every time I see it, it's like, okay, the Lost Boys are still annoying. Never Land, it's clear what is a set and what is real, but, like, the movie just grabs me every time I see it. Yes. I still love that film.
I for some reason, I just love a lot of stuff Peter Pan. I won't watch Return to Neverland, but, I mean, I love Finding Neverland.
I do like that Finding movie. Neverland.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It's good.
Okay,
I haven't seen Hook in ages, so.
I think it's still great. I mean, I think critics were really hard on it at the time, but I think they have to understand he was trying to make a children's film, and as a children's film, it's one of the best, I think. I think it's a solid, solid movie.
Yes.
What else?
Let's do two more, and we'll wrap it up, because we're starting to run out of gas, right. I think.
Yeah, we can go on forever. Okay. Did you guys see the Steve Soderbergh remake of Solaris with George Clooney?
I did not.
No.
Okay.
I've heard very, very mixed things.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
But
a lot of people hated it. Next to Punch Drunk Love, which came out the same year, both of those movies got an audience score of F. And I thought I thought Punch Drunk was the best film of that year, and I thought Solaris was also really great, but audiences hate it. What about you guys? Like, I'm kind of grasping at straws here.
I brought up Josie and the Pussycats last week, which I'm proud of this. I didn't tell Josh this. Billy Flynn called me on Friday. From over at Geek Radio Daily, he paused the episode to call me and say, "You are not alone. I effing love Josie and the Pussycats because it's so much more subversive than it has any right to be." And that's kind of why I loved it too. I mean, you know, the pink, Orange is the New Pink, and all that stuff. And you know, he did bring up a good point: Rosario Dawson in the Cat Ears.
I can think of a couple, like the SpongeBob movie. I love. I think it's so much better than... Did you see it?
No, I just know the Hasselhoff joke.
Okay. It's so much better than the cartoon show. It's not annoying at all, which I think the cartoon show is, but it's got some really, really funny jokes in it. Obviously, the Hostel series that you guys despise.
Which isn't fair, because honestly, I've not seen them.
Oh, I saw the first one.
It's not fair that I despise it like I do,
I saw the first one, and...
And that's why I don't want to see it, because everyone's like, Barry, don't see it. And I was like, okay, I believe you.
It's like Cannibal Holocaust. You really don't need to see it.
Yeah. Or the movie Solid we were talking about. You don't need to see that movie to know it's what it's.
Yes.
It's
in it. Oh, yeah.
And the Saw. I mean, the Saw films, which I'm a fan of. So.
Yeah.
See, we're talking about movies that divide people. I tend to like movies that everyone hate movies that everyone loves. So that's just me. Yeah.
So I hated Munich.
Hated Munich.
Yeah.
Completely. Didn't think there was any good scenes in that whole movie.
No, there's great scenes. I thought it was a well-done movie. I just hated it.
I hated the characters. I couldn't identify with anybody. I
hated the ending, the illusion the ending, just like...
The ending stunk. I mean, having a graphic sex scene and, you know, showing what happened, which wasn't necessary, the ending was a mistake, I think.
Yeah, and it was too... I enjoy Hostel and Saw. It was too graphic for me. Like, I can take horror films because they're... hyper realistic, I think, when I watch them, and I don't feel like it's affecting me. But when I watch a film about an actual event, it's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people say the scene where they get revenge and they kill that female assassin. Oh, people say that they think it's probably the nastiest scene that Spielberg has ever done.
Yeah.
But,
yep.
Okay.
I loved it. But
all right. Shall we go ahead and close this up?
Yes.
All right. So, yes, if you have any that you'd like to email us, by all means do. Let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting theaters next week.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh. Steve Carell is Maxwell Smart and Get Smart.
Finally.
Awesome. Yes. And competing against him is Mike Myers and his constant quest to be Peter Sellers in The Love Guru.
Which Moriarty over Ain't It Cool absolutely adored.
This is what bothers me, because the early word for Get Smart has been just so-so, and the early reviews for Love Guru has been really good. So I'm starting to get a little creeped out here, yeah.
I
did not see that coming at all. I'm hoping it's not going to be the case with the movie, but
from the footage that we saw at Comic-Con, I mean, I couldn't imagine amazing. Get Smart being bad.
And
right.
You saw at Starfest?
Yeah.
Was the stuff at Starfest different than what you saw?
Yes.
Okay.
We saw just extended, just one sequence. Just awesome.
They showed the actual airplane sequence, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. And then The Love Guru.
And The Love Guru, which...
with Justin Timberlake.
Who knows, but could turn out to be a big summer sleeper. I certainly didn't see that coming.
I still don't want to see it.
And he's... I know Myers desire. Has all this goodwill coming after, you know, hosting the MTV Movie Awards, so...
He does?
This thing could really open. Really open.
People care about the MTV Movie Awards?
Well, not people our age, David.
Okay.
But
I don't even... I think I'm done watching them after this year, honestly.
All right, so. Cool. All right, there's a lot of DVDs, so we better talk about that. Two of these I put in as a joke, but yeah.
Next week's DVD releases, Futurama, The Beast with a Million Backs.
Oh, I'm sorry, it's supposed to be a Billion Backs.
Oh, the Billion Backs, excuse me. The Billion
Backs. Yeah, it's about an alien that wants everyone to love him, so there's little tentacles that he attaches to people, and they like people going out on dates and having conversations with the bits of tentacle, and yeah. Looks very interesting.
Sounds great.
Yes, I'm hoping.
Very cool. A movie that made a lot of money, though. I can't find one person who loved it. 10,000 BC, Roland Emmerich's latest disaster film, in more ways than one. Colin Farrell, talk about a guy who divides audiences. His new film, In Burgess, which I heard good things about.
Yeah,
though. I heard it was good, but not good enough to like run out to see.
That's okay. Yeah.
Maybe better on DVD. Spiderwick Chronicles made over $80 million. So somebody likes it.
I actually want to see it.
I really want to see it.
I'm curious to see it.
I'll put it in the Netflix queue probably.
Cool. Yeah, and I know at Comic-Con, the behind the scenes stuff we saw was pretty interesting.
It was a little boring, but it was interesting.
It was very dry, but yeah, it looked kind of cool. Available in 1 and 2 disc special editions. So for all you Spiderwick Chronicles, I wonder if they're going to do a sequel to that.
I don't know.
And then indefinitely, maybe Ryan Reynolds has to choose between Rachel Weisz and Elizabeth Banks. You jerk.
That's what that is. I forgot. Positively, yes. Like, I could.
Like, what was definitely that? Maybe going to skip it. Yeah.
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 My wife liked it. But yeah. Persepolis, which did it win the Oscar for Best Animated Film or did it lose?
I think it lost.
Did it lose?
Okay. Yes.
But yeah, I've heard it's excellent. Excellent film.
I want to see that for sure.
Xanadu.
That's one of the first jokes.
Xanadu with Olivia Newton-John and Gene Kelly.
Yes, completely. The
magical music edition with CD soundtrack. So this is for Xanadu Completus. I think the reason it's back is because it's currently on Broadway as a Broadway musical, and I've heard it's awesome. It's like supposed to be. It's like totally makes fun of itself. It's like it's kind of like The Producers. I've heard it's on that
really?
Level. It's like hilariously like it's a parody, but at the same time, it's all those Olivia Newton-John songs like Magic that people like. So
okay.
So hey, when it comes to Denver, we're the first in line. A film that I've heard such good things about. In fact, it premiered at the Maui Film Festival. Well over a year ago, Charlie Bartlett with Robert Downey Jr. I've heard terrific things about. It was in theaters.
The trailer looks so good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be great, and it was gone in a week.
I actually didn't think it looked that great.
No? Okay.
Fair enough.
You're like, it's not Iron Man. No good.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if Gary Busey's in this or not, but he was in the original Ginger Dead Man, the sequel, Ginger Man to The Passion of the Crust. No,
which,
there's the title.
Sometimes you see a title on the Amazon list of what's coming out, and it looks so awful. You got to bring it up.
Marty actually like sent me the link to the first movie and like tell him, Dave, this is it's like the trailer / making of documentary. It's 5 minutes long. And you see like, you know, Gary Busey, who did the voice of Ginger Dead Man, saying, "I actually became the Ginger Dead Man. It's a part of me. It was like, one of my deep, like he's completely
I might
serious.
Have to see it.
Completely serious." And you see like the Ginger Dead Man saying like, "I'm the effing Ginger Dead Man." And he's got this little knife.
I love Gary Busey. I think he is so messed
it's like
up.
Shrek, but wrong.
Kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think someone saw Shrek and he's like, "What if this was a horror film?"
Okay, then. All right. Well, that's ending it on that note just kind of hurts.
Yeah. Do we have any mail or anything?
We don't. I'm kind of bummed. I want some voicemail so we can put together a really good commercial. I'm hoping. Mm. We will see. If you want to leave us a voicemail, we would love it if you would. Give us a call at 719-387-1804 and we'll play your voicemail in the air. I promise it doesn't have to be the genius of last week's Marty skit. So anything, I don't care. It's all good. I'm talking to you, Jabba. And then if you want to shoot us an email, you can hit us all at email, podcast, Josh, Barry, Dave, Nate, Ethan, whoever, at screengeeks.com.
Whoever at screengeeks.com.
I actually might make that up just to see if people email us at it. Okay. So, yeah, I guess we'll just close this one up because, yeah, we're closing on a good long show, which is not a bad thing. We had a good time with it. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And Cody.
Take it easy.